Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Utah Governor Republican Spencer Cox says that the state will drop mask mandates for the upcoming school year after weeks of protests from parents. He says the state's rising vaccination rates indicate that districts are prepared to limit restrictions. The U.S. State Department said this week it recently fined U.S. defense contractor Honeywell $13 million after the company was found to have harmed national security by sharing sensitive information about U.S. military aircraft with China and other countries. The documents violated the U.S. Arms Export Control Act and the U.S. International Traffic in Arms Regulations. The White House issued a proclamation on the National Day of Prayer Thursday, but President Biden left out one important word, God. Biden referenced Americans' many religious and belief systems and the power of prayer. In contrast, former President Trump mentioned God 5 times in 2017 and 11 times in 2020. USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The St. Louis prosecutor who charged a couple with brandishing weapons against Black Lives Matter protesters that broke onto private property last summer could have her law license revoked for professional misconduct. Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, who charged Mark and Patricia McCloskey following the incident in July, has been accused of hiding evidence and fabricating facts. The McCloskeys, claiming Gardner harbored bias against them, has asked for their criminal case to be revisited by a grand jury. Gardner was removed from the case in December. It's all about giving death row inmates a choice when lethal drugs are not available. Tim Berg explains.
South Carolina is one step closer to bringing back the firing squad. House lawmakers voted to pass a bill Wednesday that'll allow firing squads, and the state's governor says he'll sign it. The new bill means death row inmates will get to choose between being shot or electrocuted if lethal injection drugs are not available.
Three states that currently allow firing squads are Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Utah, according to the Death Penalty Information Center. USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The Pope talks nationalism and migration. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Pope Francis condemned aggressive nationalism as especially harmful to vulnerable foreigners, migrants, and refugees. The Pope delivered the remarks in his announcement on the theme, Towards an Ever Wider We. It's his annual message for the 107th World Day of Migrants and Refugees, to be commemorated on September 26th. Francis emphasized that a fracturing of the collective purpose of we has become evident amid the COVID-19 pandemic and aggressive forms on nationalism. According to the COVID-19 vaccine tracker, the vaccination rate is about 25 times faster in countries with the highest incomes compared with the lowest. Francis further explained the theme expressed in this hope that we will think no longer in terms of them and those, but only us.
Pope Francis does address the crowd in St. Peter's Square every Sunday at noon, obviously when he's in Rome. President Biden taking questions from reporters outside the formal setting of a White House press conference is not something we recommend, Press Secretary Jen Psaki admitted Thursday. He takes questions nearly every day he's out with the press. Psaki disclosed A lot of times we say, don't take questions, but he's going to do what he wants to do because he's the President of the United States. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. 800-399-3706. Again, that's 800-399-3706.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's what we do, but we can't do it without you, ladies and gentlemen. After all, this is a country of, for, by, and we the people. I know some people have forgotten that, even people that we've elected into office. But that's okay. That doesn't mean that we should give up these fundamentals. We cannot relent and compromise the truth. Great to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Michael Rubin joins us now, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Hey, Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I've really been looking forward to talking to you for quite a while. Sometimes I think I just want to call you up and just feel like, okay, it's not as bad as it seems because of the insight and the balance that you bring to help us understand what is going on by way of national security and what is happening right now with this Afghan exit. And I want to get deeper into the, you know, what I see is maybe some unintended consequences, and it's like we've been through this way before with Iraq and in other situations when it comes to, military action and national security. But if you can humor me for just a moment here, I do want to get into just some basic philosophy about national security, because, you know, the understanding of what national security is and how it's practiced seems to be in question these days. Am I seeing this right?
I think you are. It's become trendy to talk about endless wars.
Mm-hmm.
But what a lot of the public discourse elides or simply ignores is the fact that it's actually the projection of power which prevents those wars. And so, for example, when we have troops in Korea, those troops in Korea aren't to keep the Korean War going into perpetuity. It's to prevent a much greater conflict. The same thing is true with regard to our troops in Germany during the Cold War, perhaps now. It's to prevent Russian aggression. The question is, if we withdraw troops from Afghanistan, most of whom aren't actively fighting, is that going to simply end an endless war, or is it going to create a vacuum in which that the chance of conflict in which the United States is going to get drawn into will become much worse?
Exactly. Michael, let me bring it to the everyday situation here domestically. For the same reason, a police officer has a gun, right? I mean, he doesn't have a gun to go out and shoot people. He has a gun there that really stands as a position of authority and to really help people make the right decision. Is that fair?
Well, that's absolutely the case. And if we want to just look at Afghanistan using that analogy, remember, the Taliban aren't a popular movement. If they were a popular movement, they'd go to elections and they'd win them. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is the Taliban are known bad guys who want to disenfranchise half the population, that's women, and who, despite their promises to the contrary, actively shelter al-Qaeda. We know this because since the February 29th agreement had been signed a year and a few months ago, we've got a situation in which twice the leaders of al-Qaeda groups have been found, have been killed in Afghan territory under Taliban protection by the United States or by the Afghan security forces.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, and the deal is, this is historic, right? I mean, this is empirical. It's not like we're operating in the realm of the theoretical. We've seen this play out time and again, have we not?
We have, and look, it's that old quip, I think, sometimes attributed to either Einstein or Mark Twain, that the definition of insanity is doing the same action repeatedly but expecting different results each time.
Exactly.
One thing that Zameh Khalilzad, the special envoy for Afghanistan, hasn't been able to explain is why he believes the Taliban are more secure and more sincere now than they were 20 years ago when Bill Clinton was, or actually a little bit more than 20 years ago now, when Bill Clinton was actively negotiating with them.
Right. Well, okay. Let's talk about Afghanistan. I mean, we've been this way before. I mean, yes, you look at it and you say we're 20 years into this, but I just can't help but feel the tug of the heart once again. And I'm going, is this a little bit of Vietnam all over again in terms of an exit?
Well, it certainly is, and the problem has been compounded by the fact that President Biden has decided to make September 11th the deadline for the withdrawal. What that means is that the Taliban can now celebrate September 11th as a victory, and in fact a double victory, because not only did they bring down with their al-Qaeda partners the Twin Towers and strike at the Pentagon, but they also forced the American withdrawal on the same date. So what astounds me, and I've actually talked to people in government about this, is people were afraid, whoever came up with this idea, it was, I mean, perhaps Biden or perhaps Secretary Blinken or Jake Sullivan, everyone around them was understood that this was a horrible, bad idea, just choosing that date.
Yes.
And everyone was just afraid to tell them that. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't withdraw from Afghanistan. If the American people want to do so, that's fine, too. And this was my criticism under Trump as well. But by having this fake peace deal with the Taliban, what we've done is we've forced the Afghan government to release divisions of the Taliban who had been imprisoned out back into the fight. We've empowered the Taliban. If we wanted to leave, if we wanted to just pull the carpet out from underneath Afghanistan, fine. But let's not kneecap them on the way out, which is
exactly
essentially what Trump and Biden did.
Well, it's such a disconnect from law and order. I mean, you can see what's happening domestically. We get people who break the law. We put them in jail for 2 seconds, let them out, put them back on America's streets, and we do the same thing on an international level with what we're doing here. I can see the near comparison between the two. I mean, it's like, this is like dysfunctional.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I mean, just to use your analogy, if some municipality had decided to remove the state's the police from a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
What we've done is we've forced that city or that state to first empty the prisons, and then we've withdrawn the police, rather than simply withdraw the police while allowing them to keep the bad guys in prison.
Exactly. This is insane, but it just seems like this is systemic.
Well, you're absolutely right, but what frustrates me, if you go into the details of Afghanistan, some people will say, well, look, I mean, we've been there 20 years. What have we achieved?
Mm-hmm.
Put aside the fact that we haven't had a serious terrorist incident on U.S. soil.
Exactly.
That emanated from Afghanistan and this safe haven. But what frustrates me is when we look at the explosives which are used in Afghanistan, 90% of the explosives have derived their precursors from two factories in Pakistan. And so after 20 years, we haven't done anything to shut down the two Pakistani fertilizer plants, which are really driving this insurgency. People say, well, there's nothing we can do. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't tried such basic targeted issues, which could bring this conflict to a halt.
Well, and this is amazing. Again, we get into this, you know, political morass and this kind of thinking, like you say, from the old saying, doing the same thing, expecting different results. And we ignore things like, you know, what Donald Trump tried to do in the Middle East. It's like, okay, we find out that it's untenable to go through the Palestinians to try to even arrive to any kind of Middle East peace. Why don't we go to the other Arab nations? And look what he did. He teed up five Arab nations for Joe Biden to promote peace in the Middle East. And that's gone by the wayside for all intent and purposes. We got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there when we come back. We've got more from Dr. Michael Rubin after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
Minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent. You know, as I was preparing for this discussion with Dr. Michael Rubin with the American Enterprise Institute, a former Pentagon official, I went back and reviewed the oath of office. You know, I took an oath of office when I went into the military. All military people do. When you serve the country, you take this very similar oath of office. And if you're in national security, it starts out with I, your name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States, the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations. Of course, this is from the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. So this is the basis and commitment. And what I was talking to Michael about is that we need to hit a reset button, you know, in this country to go back to first principles so that we are focused on the majors that we understand, you know, just as you were saying, Michael, as the President of the United States, your number one job is to protect the citizens, right?
Well, you're absolutely right there. I mean, you can't make defense policy foreign policy by slogan. And the job of the United States president, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, first and foremost, is protecting American citizens. I mean, sometimes this is denigrated by progressives because Trump said, put America first. But it really is much more fundamental than that. And what drives me nuts is if we go back to someone like Jimmy Carter, Bill, Jimmy Carter's foreign policy and defense policy by today's standards would be considered so conservative that he would be labeled a white supremacist or some nonsense like that. Remember, Jimmy Carter was the one that put sanctions on the Soviet Union and boycotted the Olympics because of the Soviets' invasion of Afghanistan. And the fact of the matter is we have shifted so far from our bedrock principles of protecting the United States public. It really is astounding.
Well, and then also to your point, we're going to China for the Olympics, right?
I mean, in reality, that's going to be like a repeat of the Nazi Olympics in 1936. It really is
right.
A world stage to affirm what China is doing against the backdrop of a genocide against the Uyghur people.
Exactly. And again, we hear more and more stories. And this is the thing, you know, Michael, I don't even know how to put this in proper words. But, you know, here we are in our everyday lives here in America. And Uyghurs are incarcerated en masse. They're being greatly abused. Organs are being harvested. People are being murdered there at will because the Chinese perceive them as less thans. I mean, we're back to that age-old problem of, might is right. And for the communist Chinese and what they're doing, you know, to humanity. And what we have to realize, I mean, it's interesting that we want to talk about globalism and the global impact of a global nation, but we want to conveniently extract those things that are ugly and evil.
Well, Bill, the way I look at it is what we are fighting is for the post-World War II liberal order. And the lesson that should be derived from this by both conservatives and progressives is that when the United States withdraws from the global stage, when we purposely pull back from our position of leadership, what fills the vacuum aren't forces of altruism. It's states like the Islamic Republic of Iran, like Vladimir Putin's Russia, or like President Xi's China. It's not
yes.
going to be a pretty world, and so much more is at stake than simply the livelihood of the Uyghurs.
Michael, you've been around this for a long time, so you understand the dynamic tension between these two forces. And I don't want to necessarily politicize them, although they are obvious as to which party supports what. But explain to our audience this dynamic tension that we have between, you know, understanding, like we said, first principles of national security and then this other interest of, you know, guns and wars, big business, and what Eisenhower warned about in that, industrial military complex.
Well, Bill, actually the way I look at it is when people criticize Iraq, when people criticize Afghanistan, I actually see a couple different issues, and I can understand what some of the critics say. There's two issues here. One was the decision to oust dictators or regimes, mm-hmm. which posed a threat to the United States and its citizens. Fine. We can debate that. Another issue is spending billions and billions of dollars in order to reconstruct and develop society. The United States isn't very good at nation building, and mm-hmm. frankly, oftentimes we do more harm than good. There's a book out by an American University scholar named Jessica Trisco Darden. She's actually a former Miss Canada. Uh-huh. At any rate, her book is called Aiding and Abetting, and what she shows is humanitarian aid often does more harm than good because it's corrosive to civil society. It gives people something to fight over, and it often doesn't achieve its goals. When we look at Iraq and when we look at Afghanistan, 90% of our blood and treasure was spent trying to, quote-unquote, build up these governments, and what we ultimately did was only create dysfunctional corruption. What I object to are people who suggest that the end that what we should do as a result is simply withdraw from the world stage. I'd argue need to do is be willing to defend the Americans, America with our military, but at the same time, put aside this notion of nation building.
Yeah, well, what's the alternative here when you have these rogue countries, when you have Iran trying to build a nuclear weapon? You're king, Michael, so how do we manage that?
Well, ultimately, you have no alternative to project U.S. military force. Mm-hmm. Again, all I'm saying is that doesn't mean we need to pour billions of dollars into some nation-building jobs program for the American development community.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the job of the U.S. military. At any rate, however, we do need to recognize these threats. I do Persian translation for the U.S. Army, as you know, some Farsi translation, mm-hmm. and one of the articles I was reading from the Defense Ministry webpage was about how Iran has built a new platform for launching satellites, which will be capable of being launched from truck beds and train beds. Well, what kind of satellite needs to be launched from a truck or a train? None. What you're launching is a missile capable of carrying a nuclear warhead. We need to wake up to these threats. They're not going to go away. One of the themes in my previous book very quickly was that Americans look at diplomacy as how to get to yes, how to problem solve. But many of our adversaries, Bill, look at diplomacy as an asymmetric warfare strategy to tie our hands while they advance in their own ways. And that's what China has done, Russia has done, and Iran has done.
See, again, this is why my perspective, Michael, is maintained that we need to return to first principles to make sure that we're on point in negotiating these certain things. It's the big takeaway, as I mentioned earlier, that we should have with what Donald Trump did in the Middle East. Look at that stuff isn't working. Let's do something that works here. Even though you say it's not necessarily getting to yes, but in lieu of that, it's still getting to some hopefully peaceful, satisfactory end, I would think.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, a lot of the conventional wisdom in Washington is flat out wrong. But as you know, I'm a small government conservative. What I believe is that the federal government shouldn't do anything which the private sector could do and could do better. The federal government shouldn't be competing with the private sector. What the job of the federal government is, in my mind, is to provide a very basic safety net and also to protect American defense. And it seems that we are failing increasingly at this job of protecting America's defense.
And then we open up our southern border to exacerbate the problem even more in the midst of a pandemic. How does that make sense, Michael?
It doesn't. And Donald Trump was right. If you want to stop the flow of aid, you got to rebuild these countries. You don't want to encourage a brain drain.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they were doing. They were already investing, and they were asking them to be accountable. And it was, in a sense, quid pro quo. It's like, look, take care of your business, and we'll help you out, right? What's wrong with that?
Also, if you're Guatemalan and you're fleeing persecution in Guatemala, where you're going to is Mexico, and then you're safe. You don't need to come to the United States. There's a reason why all these countries want to come to, all these refugees want to come to America from all over the world. And what astounds me is progressives badmouth America and don't recognize that the reason people want to come to America is because of who we are and what we've achieved.
We're still that light on a shining hill, though some would see maybe it's dimming a bit. But compared to the rest of the world, it's still shining quite bright. Dr. Michael Rubin has been with us, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Michael, all the best to you and the family. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Gotta finish this today. Hoy tenemos...
Cristiano's construction projects typically run smoothly, but this project's pipeline is about to burst.
Yo, boss, where you want us to put this?
To the left. Your other left. John!
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Utah Governor Republican Spencer Cox says that the state will drop mask mandates for the upcoming school year after weeks of protests from parents. He says the state's rising vaccination rates indicate that districts are prepared to limit restrictions. The U.S. State Department said this week it recently fined U.S. defense contractor Honeywell $13 million after the company was found to have harmed national security by sharing sensitive information about U.S. military aircraft with China and other countries. The documents violated the U.S. Arms Export Control Act and the U.S. International Traffic in Arms Regulations. The White House issued a proclamation on the National Day of Prayer Thursday, but President Biden left out one important word, God. Biden referenced Americans' many religious and belief systems and the power of prayer. In contrast, former President Trump mentioned God 5 times in 2017 and 11 times in 2020. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. DeRoy Murdoch joins us, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, and founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. DeRoy, how are we doing, buddy?
Great, Bill. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Hey, doing terrific. Always good to connect here. And, boy, what we're seeing happening, Facebook just cannot free the president of the United States. This is just incredible how our First Amendment is so compromised and in jeopardy right now, all because of what big tech is doing, of all people, on a former president. And if that can happen to a former president, just like what happened with Giuliani and on, even I was just reading about a couple in Alaska that got broken into. It was a mistake. It was a face recognition error. And they come in and they storm their home, scare the holy what have you out of this couple, and it ended up, you know, took them 3+ hours later to realize that they had the wrong face.
Yeah, exactly correct. And they didn't knock on the door. They banged the door, knocked the door down, put a hole in it or something like this. You've heard people on the left, the Black Lives Matter folks, oh, we got to stop the no-knock raids. You need to knock on the door, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And here we get, here we go, the FBI knocking these people's doors down. And then they don't, arrest them, tell them they have the right to remain silent and get them lawyers. They sit down and grill them for 3 hours, which is maybe perhaps a violation of their Miranda rights.
Right.
And then it turns out, oops, never mind, Wrong photo. Absolutely astonishing. I mean, I think we're really in what I would describe today as a totalitarian moment. What you described is part of it. The raid on Rudy Giuliani's apartment a couple of days ago. This is the, I think, third lawyer for the former president of the United States who's had his property gone into with a search warrant and his computers and hard drives taken. I mean, you never hear about this sort of thing.
Exactly.
And there's kind of a pattern here. These are lawyers, and they happen to represent the president of the United States. And then I believe we learned that Rudy actually said on a couple of interviews that not only did they go in and grab his stuff physically, but actually during the impeachment trial, they penetrated his iCloud account and were looking at his documents while he's defending the president. I mean, this is like something out of East Germany.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
And then you've got that sort of a lower level, but still, again, continuing the totalitarian theme. In Washington, D.C., the Mayor Bowser, I believe, issued an executive order banning dancing and standing and talking at wedding receptions. Unbelievable. And you've got people playing basketball there. I imagine wrestling is okay, but if you're at a wedding and dancing or sitting down with cocktails talking to, you know, the friends of the bride, friends of the groom, whatever it might be, that's against the law in Washington, D.C. So the left gets in power, and they want full power. They want total control. And every day this country looks just a little bit more like Cuba or just a little bit more like East Germany, and it's not a good thing.
Well, it's totally insane. I mean, we know you can't dance. Can you head bob? That's my question.
Right. And, you know, if you're not dancing with somebody, but you're sitting right next to the person having dinner and talking at a, you know, post-wedding dinner, aren't you getting, you know, spewing presumably COVID germs in their faces and everybody walks out of the wedding sick? I mean, this is just, if this is really, if this were Ebola virus and, you know, we all would suffer, you know, cerebral hemorrhages after exposure to this,
exactly.
You know what? No weddings. Sorry.
Right.
Stay home. We're all going to die. But if it's okay to sit next to somebody and have steak and lobster, why can't you dance with somebody? Why can't you stand and have a glass of champagne next to somebody? It's total insanity. I'm sure it's not based on anything scientific. It's pure, you know, diktat, and not even diktat based on anything of any substance. It's just,
well, exactly. There's no empirical evidence to support this. The only thing that seems to be supported is that the Democrats feel that if they have a party and they're going to dinner, that somehow they're immune. They've got some special protection. So I guess we all have to become Democrats, and then we can wander free in America once again. Forget about the vaccine. Just become a Democrat.
Yeah, just make sure you register as Democrat, and then the COVID germs will apologize and turn around and go the other direction. You know, we saw Governor Whitmer of Michigan specifically issue some decree, or not decree, some statement, don't go to Florida, it's too dangerous, you know, super spreader events, Ron DeSantis doesn't take the virus seriously, blah, blah, blah. Next thing we know, she's flying private, you know, on a private jet to go visit her dad, who apparently is sick, and the man's not well, and I'm sympathetic to that. But there are many Michiganders who'd love to go visit their parents who are sick or maybe dying, and they've not been able to do that. But the governor is able to do it, even though she turns around and tells people, stay out of Florida. There's another member of Congress who...
Well, staying with her for just a minute early on, she was the one who said you can't get in your boat, right? You can't go to your vacation home.
Yeah.
It's hot, it's sweltering, cold. You can't do that, but yet the husband unit's out there floating around,
right.
You know.
And when, I think when he wanted the boat in the water, he said, you know, do you know who my wife is or something like that?
Right.
And frankly, if you want to get away from the germs, I think being in a rowboat in the middle of a lake, you know, socially distanced by,
I would think,
you know, 1,000 feet of water, that seems like a pretty good place to be if you want to either stay away from the infections or not infect other people. I mean, maybe she should have told people in Michigan, please get in your boats and, you know, sit in the middle of the lake for 2 months.
Exactly. Maybe he wanted to get away from his wife, so he's out in the boat.
Maybe.
Just saying.
Escape his wife.
Yeah, that's maybe what he meant when he says, do you know who my wife is?
You know who my wife is? Please drop the boat and get away from
her. He had that look of fear on his face.
That makes total sense.
Oh, surely we just, gosh, I'm telling you. Well, this is the thing. You see, and you know, humor gives me the sense that maybe we're getting on the other side of this, because we can, though, like you said, this is very serious. And for the families who have suffered a loss, and I would, you know, I think when maybe if we wanted to be honest and really do a deep dive on this, we're going to find out that there were some families who took a loss unnecessarily. And the price that we paid goes back to what Donald Trump warned about initially, and that is do not let the solution be worse than the disease. And I think whenever you get people involved
seemingly in our best interest. And of course, then you add the mire of big government and political interest. It takes us way off course and exacerbates the problem. This is my takeaway out of this whole experience, DeRoy. I don't know about you.
No, that's very true. I mean, look, COVID-19, the disease itself obviously has killed, I think the number at this point is about 580,000, something like this, in the U.S. and about, I think, 3 million worldwide. And that's the actual virus per se. But, you know, the response to the virus has led to all sorts of people suffering bankruptcies, losing jobs, losing businesses, restaurants closed. I live in Manhattan, and I've got one restaurant after another, bars I visit, places where I've celebrated, I've had great times with friends, just shut down. And then you've had these unbelievable stories of these kids in elementary, junior high, high school who have been isolated from their friends, you know, doing Zoom class, and exactly. They get depressed, they kill themselves.
I know.
Teenagers, and maybe even kids younger than that, who are so despondent about being isolated, they kill themselves. They're not coming back.
Exactly.
And this is certainly part of the overreaction. You know, if we'd said, look, keep the old people isolated, don't send COVID-19 positive people in nursing homes, the young kids who either don't get COVID, or at least if they do, it's minor, keep them in school. You know, I'm not sure how many dozens of scores, maybe hundreds of kids who committed suicide in the middle of this thing would be alive and well today.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, it's a sad and depressing consideration in and of its own. We also talk about the impact on families, what this has done on marriages. I was talking with somebody earlier, and they were reporting how telemedicine has, you know, dramatically increased. It's probably going to be here to stay unless the government comes in and interferes and says, oh, we can't do that. We only allowed it for COVID. But telemedicine has just increased dramatically. And I was thinking that if the lawyers got involved and started doing teledivorce, could you imagine what divorces would be like? Am I being too cynical?
Tell a divorce. There's a billion-dollar idea. I think we should.
You and me.
Immediately.
Hey, well, you and I are in business. We're going to do something together. I know it's in our future, and maybe that's it. Huh? Tell a divorce, our contribution.
Divorce. Yeah, that is funny. Well, but seriously, you know, one of the chief strains on marriages, one of the big things that drives marriages apart is financial inability to pay bills, right. Financial strains, not enough money to go around. And certainly when you've got people losing their jobs, losing their clients, again, the tremendous strain on restaurants, bars. If you're here in New York City and other places, you're a musician, actor, actress, stagehand, whatever, there's no theater in New York City. And I got to think people who are, married couples who are in the theater, unable to pay their bills, you know, they're probably, you know, lining up for teledivorce or mail-in divorce or, you know, social
exactly.
divorce or whatever the divorce is. Again, another tremendous negative repercussion of
without a doubt
the Chinese virus.
Got to go to break. We've got more from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who is honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, and it's also great to have DeRoy Murdoch with us, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. DeRoy, the Republican Party, I've got to say, this one's on me, because I thought if any party of the two was going to be in shambles, it was going to be the Democratic Party. But I thought it was going to be because they were going to get their hat handed to them so dramatically in the 2020 elections, but we know the results and what happened. But this is really, I think, an opportunity for the Republican Party to really realize, you know, where their heart and soul really is, because all these rhinos and these people who have been misrepresenting themselves to their constituency are being exposed big time.
I think that's true. I think maybe the most dramatic example of this is the very public leadership battle between Liz Cheney, the head of the Republican Conference, who's very much a Bush-style Republican, if you will, and Elise Stefanik, who is about, I think she's 34, and Lynn Cheney, 54, if I'm not wrong, 20 years younger, much more energetic. She was a very, very vocal defender of President Trump during the first impeachment, compared to Liz Cheney, who actually voted against President Trump and for his impeachment the second time around, and didn't just say there's a vote of conscience, here's how I'm going to vote. She announced it ahead of time. I believe she put out a press release, and that then let the Democrats give one speech after another, saying, you know, as the head of the GOP conference on this side of the aisle agrees, Donald J. Trump deserves impeachment, and you know they were able to use her vote as as a wrench to hit over the heads of Donald J. Trump and the Republicans who were backing him. She then has gone on and on about January 6th and how this represents a big assault on the Republican Party and so on. And a lot of Republicans, I think, have just gotten sick and tired of this. And so there's an effort to oust her
and replace her with Elise Stefanik. And I think that would be a big step forward. And I think it would align the Republican Party much more with where it is needs to go and not where it used to be. That'd be a big step forward.
You know, DeRoy, I'll tell you, I am really having a hard time with this focus, especially on the left, and how they want to jam January the 6th down everybody's throat. We're talking one day, several hours, okay? No mass destruction, okay? No doubt trespassing on a Capitol building, but let's take it out of context and set it aside, unless we recall what happened in the Summer of Love, over 100 days of destruction, $4 billion, loss of jobs, deaths, all this stuff, brought to you by Antifa, Black Lives Matter et al., supported by the Democratic Party, and we're making all this hoopla over one day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we should downplay the significance of having people breach the doors, the windows even of the Capitol, step onto the Senate floor, have members of the House barricaded inside the House chamber, you know, lying down in the balcony hoping not to get attacked. I mean, that was a very ugly thing, and that shouldn't have happened. And by the way, it was extremely unfortunate that took place at the exact time that Republicans were challenging the Electoral College results from Arizona. They had Arizona lined up. They're going to challenge Pennsylvania, possibly Michigan and others. And they would have, we actually would have had the whole day to present evidence of election irregularities, if not outright election fraud. The riot busted that up and totally derailed all that. So that was both strategically and tactically horrible. But as you say, this was, as you said, one day. It wasn't an ongoing siege. And you compare that one awful, unfortunate day that shouldn't happen with an entire spring and summer and fall and that winter of the demonstrations all across the country, burning down a police precinct, setting fire to the president's churches called across Lafayette Park from the White House, yanking down statues from coast to coast. The violence in Portland continues. I mean, every night in Portland is riot night. And people actually have gone as far as repeatedly try to burn down a U.S. courthouse in downtown Portland. And several times they've set police precincts on fire with the police in them and trying to barricade the doors. I mean, this is attempted murder. This is trying to incinerate human beings, and nothing happens to them. They get arrested. Some of them get arrested. They take their pictures, which is kind of cute, and then they're back on the street to do it again. No repercussions, no consequences. I believe I just saw today or yesterday some of the people who were charged in some of these riots with trespassing. A, they've dropped charges. B, they're going to steal the records. They won't even have arrest records. Yeah. So no consequences, no repercussions, no anything. If you're on the left, go ahead, burn down, loot, riot, do what you want, because there's no price to pay for it.
Exactly.
And until we raise the price for that, we're going to see more of that kind of misbehavior.
Mm-hmm. And again, we go back to what we said earlier, and that is that everybody needs to change their party affiliation so that they, too, can get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's right. Immune from the virus and immune from prosecution. Yeah.
Exactly.
If you're a Republican, you go to jail. If you're a Democrat, you know, you do whatever you want.
Yeah, and especially now, because what we see is the empowerment of the three-letter agencies in much the same way that we experienced with the Obama administration going after political enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe the IRS has been given a fresh mandate and apparently some new money. I think it's $8 billion, if I remember the number correctly. I could be off on that. And I'm sure they're going to be busy going after conservatives and going after the evil rich who don't pay their fair share, even though the top 1% make about 20% of national income and pay about 39-40% of income tax. I guess that's still not fair. But, this is class warfare. It's racial warfare. It's ideological warfare. The left is completely on the warpath. The calls for unity and bringing the country together, we heard from Joe Biden, turn out to be not only empty promises but punchlines. And I don't see the country being brought together. I just see the left continue to pull us apart and, basically draw and quarter the country is what we've got from Biden and the rest of the Democrats and their pals on the left.
You know, these are such powerful points that you just made, DeRoy. I mean, and people need to see this. I mean, this is in the spirit of Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. that, you know, for every action, there's an adverse reaction. And this is what happens. You have class warfare. You start scratching an itch that's not there. then we've got major troubles that just keep on building, that the Democrats have become very proficient, all in the name of Rahm Emanuel and not letting a good crisis go to waste. And that good crisis, whether it's genuine or manufactured, they're taking full advantage of this stuff. And they do this time and time again, which Charles Barkley called them out for. He said they have us at each other's throats. And, you know, for what purpose? You know, for their own political gain at the cost of our own peace and prosperity.
Look, and it's deliberate. This isn't an accident. This isn't a bug. This is a feature.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter was launched by actual Marxists, and they're very open about it. They're Marxists. Mm-hmm. And Karl Marx, of course, taught class warfare based on the Hegelian dialectic, which is constant conflict, constant collisions and confrontation lead to supposedly a better result, the better result, of course, being socialism and eventually communism. That didn't work on the basis of class warfare in this country. So something called the Frankfurt School, a bunch of people in Germany said, look, this isn't working so well with the economy. Let's use cultural conflict. So therefore, let's get people at each other's throats on the basis of race. People in this country have adopted that, and now you've got black and white people at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. Instead of class warfare, you have racial warfare. This is deliberate. They want us in conflict. And I think what they ultimately want is a race war and blood in the streets. And from that, I imagine they hope there will emerge a better system, namely a socialist or a communist system. I don't think this is anything less than that. And that's exactly what they're what is underway here. And it doesn't end well unless we stop it now.
Well, and then this feeds into what you wrote about here several days back about Biden's Jim Eagle versus Jim Crow. Tell our audience about that.
Yeah, well, you know, this is basically in response to the Georgia election integrity law. And Biden came out and instantly called it Jim Crow 2.0 and Jim Crow on steroids. And, you know, he said this thing is so bad, the Georgia law, that it's Jim Eagle, not just Jim Crow, but Jim Eagle. And eagles tend to be about 10 times bigger than crows. So presumably this is 10 times worse than Jim Crow. And this is such a deep insult. Even to people who were alive who lived under Jim Crow and remember what it was like to have separate water fountains for black and white people, separate waiting rooms at bus stations, separate dining facilities, separate hotels, et cetera. People who tried to vote were discouraged to do so. They had to pay poll taxes. They had elaborate literacy tests in Alabama. They had a test with 68 different questions, which would be very tough for a government major to get through, much less somebody in Alabama who might, you know, be a poor person, not all that terribly sophisticated. Mm-hmm. If you insisted and you kept doing that, very often you ended up lynched, or if you would try to register voters as people did in the Freedom Riders and others in the early 60s, they ended up killed. Three guys named Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney tried to register blacks in Mississippi. They ended up killed by the KKK, stuffed into an earthen dam, and their bodies were discovered a couple of months later. That's Jim Crow.
Yes.
Saying to everybody, not just black, but black people, white people, and everyone else in Georgia, you need to show photo ID. You have 17 days of in-person early voting. You've got at least one drop box in every county, et cetera, et cetera. That's what is going on in Georgia. People, the GOP didn't pass a bill to lynch people or have them pay poll taxes or require them to do literacy tests. That would have been Jim Crow 2.0.
Exactly.
So when Biden says that sort of thing, A, it's wrong, and B, it introduces the most incredibly explosive and inflammatory and divisive rhetoric you can imagine. This is from the guy who's supposed to be bringing us together. It's truly shameful, and he needs to stop, and he really needs to be castigated for that kind of misbehavior.
DeRoy Murdoch has been with us. DeRoy, how can people be in touch with you?
Well, you certainly can see my pieces at the big archive at nationalreview.com, as well as foxnews.com. Newsmax runs a lot of my pieces, as well as Town Hall. And if you do that, you can see what I'm doing. And DeRoyMurdoch.com also has those articles, as well as clips of my broadcast appearances, including on your program.
Well, excellent. DeRoy Murdoch, thank you, buddy. Take care.
Great to talk to you, Bill. Thanks very much.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.